Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good morning. Thanks for joining us, and happy Wednesday to you. Chargers on the clock in our AFC West preview, but in this hour, we'll also talk some ACC football. Matt Mershell, our good friend from the Orlando Sentinel, will join us to talk about that conference. We're doing a couple of college conferences this week. Did the SEC yesterday. But the ACC is a little interesting here. Clemson could be on their way back. Do you remember all the years when Clemson was, you know, good and dominant, but we'd always say that one thing about them? They can't afford to lose. They're not like Alabama. They don't play in the SEC. They play in the ACC. So they can't lose one game in that conference because the competition wasn't respectable enough that if Clemson were to drop a game, that they could overcome that. Well, you can make the argument there were some teams, decent enough teams, but the point was being made. The conference just didn't carry the same sort of weight as some of the better teams in the Big 12 or the better teams in the Big 10 or the better teams in the SEC. Well, they've got a lot of interesting teams this year. North Carolina State with Devin Leary at quarterback could be a really interesting team to watch for. Wake Forest is starting the year ranked. Of course, Clemson is in the top five. But you're also looking at programs that are trying to get back some of their glory and trying to get back to their respectability. Mike Norvell is the head coach at Florida State, and they had a bad year last year, but they're trying to pick through what Jimbo Fisher had left and Willie Taggart had left. And so they're trying to get back to respectability. Mario Cristobal left Oregon for Miami, where he's from, to coach the Hurricanes to try to bring them back. So there's a lot of interesting storylines in the ACC. Of course, North Carolina, head coach by Mack Brown. So the ACC is not one of those throwaway conferences like it had been perceived. I don't want to say that was a reality, because I think there was some good football teams that made a little bit of noise in the ACC. But the Pitt Panthers are a team that is ranked. They got the backyard brawl coming up on Thursday. So we'll get into that with Matt Mershell coming up. We've also got the good, the bad, and the dumb. But we are also going to get into the Chargers today, and that's a team that barely missed out on the playoffs, but there's a lot of hype around them. They're also a team that is still trying to find their identity and where they play in the city of Los Angeles. And it's got to be even tougher, given that the neighbor and your partner in the SoFi Stadium world has just came off a Super Bowl and are a little bit more historically entrenched in the city that you are. Do people in Los Angeles still look at the Chargers and go, you're still just a guest? We'll talk about that coming up. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. I really tell you, I have now viewed this in the 4 years that we've done this segment, Ron. I now see stories that pop up on my newsfeed differently. I go, oh, is this a good, the bad, the dumb kind of thing? All the time. Oh, so I always am curious about what you're doing. Just to let everybody know, you don't tell me these stories so I can give you the honest reaction in advance.
Yep.
Before we do that, with their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for 4 lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, what's the good of the day?
Good of the day. There can only be one.
Only one.
Yeah, there's only one good of the day, and that was seeing the video of Brian Robinson Jr. returning to the Commander's facility.
Just days
after being shot in an attempted carjacking.
Attempting carjacking, man. That is so scary.
And not only that, but he was shot. I guess he was shot in the knee, but that bullet missed anything major.
So there's a chance he could come back.
There is hope that he'll come back this season.
Yeah, like it's a weird, like I thought, oh God, he's done, right? He got shot multiple times. When they said multiple times, I'm like,
yeah.
Like how is he going to play NFL football? But you're right. They said some of these injuries are not as bad, not completely debilitating, that he could come back.
No, for me, I mean, if I got shot multiple times, I'm not walking back to work.
Yeah, that's right. Right. So, yeah, that's what a scary situation.
That's gotta,
carjacked.
You're just cruising through Washington. He's probably taking in the local sights.
And carjacking must be petrifying because they want your car. And if you give any, like, it's not like they want your car and they want it now. So if you give any resistance, it could lead to a violent end for you if you're not careful. Like, you got to give up your car quickly just to stay alive. I don't know the circumstances of it, so I'm not even going to speculate what exactly happened in his case, but it's got to be petrifying.
I know, I don't know if movies and TV do it justice either, because I feel like if you struggled with your seatbelt, they're going to shoot you.
Right, exactly. Like, I want your car right now, right? It's always like in Hollywood, they show like somebody, get out of the car, and you're like, oh, but sometimes it's like, no, I'll shoot you and then get you out of the car. You know, it's a scary thing. So I'm glad he survived it. I'm glad he's okay. And like you said, good news, he could continue his dream of playing NFL football. He could still be an NFL football player. This didn't end it.
That's the amazing thing. It's not a question of if he can play football again. The question is, can he play the season?
Right, right. He could be back this season.
Just months after being shot.
What a wild story. So that is very good.
But yeah, it was cool. Like, you know, him coming, walking around in the facility. Was like,
drafted out of Alabama. So yep. Alabama player. So, all right, what's the bad of the day?
Oh, boy. We've talked about this many, many times. And this one might sting a little bit for a certain group. The Lions-Steelers preseason game, right? That happened over the weekend. That broadcast averaged a household of 5.8 million viewers.
Okay.
That is more than the average audience for each of the five Christmas Day NBA games.
Oh,
in 2021.
Isn't that wild?
We're talking now, I don't know if, you know, Lions Steelers, if, you know, Hard Knocks had something to do with it, you know, if it's just the Steelers had something to do with it, got a 5.8 million view, but it's a preseason game. You're not seeing the players. They're not seeing the stars.
I think the Hard Knocks factor has something to do with it. I think the Steelers with their quarterback situation for Steeler fans, a lot of them might be like me. We're like, yeah, I'll watch a little preseason, but I don't get that much into it because I'm not an armchair. I'm not trying to armchair scout this thing. But with the quarterback situation, I was very interested in seeing the final game because he had made a decision. And I know he was going to play he was going to play all three. So I was like, all right, I'm now invested in this. I'm going to see exactly what I can out of these three guys to see what happens.
But it's the fact that Christmas Day for the NBA is like their one shining moment until the playoffs.
Yeah.
And a preseason game outviewed all five of their games.
It's like when you're a king of an empire, you look around and you see where your threats are coming from. You're like, Brutus over there, he looks like he's building up a little contingent of people that want to take this throne. And Marcus over there, he looks like he's ready to pounce. And Joseph over there looks like he's got a group. But in the NFL, it's like there's a king with nobody. Like, nobody wants, like, is willing to put up a fight. There's nothing.
They're literally sitting on the throne looking over. It's like, oh, the NBA is making a little noise. Don't worry about those.
There's nothing. There is nothing they have. Nothing.
World Series over there? Nah. Yeah. I'm not too concerned about them either.
It is incredible. It is incredible that this league is that good. Like, it's one thing to say an NFL regular season game beat because there's going to be three games on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
For the NFL? It's one thing to go, because those matter. Those are important games, right?
And that's just a precursor right now, right?
Right. This is a preseason game between one team that had three wins.
Do you think the NBA sees that and goes, oh, God, we're buried on Christmas?
We have no
chance on Christmas Day.
Exhibition games that nobody wants to go to live, they'll watch on TV, right? Like every stadium. They couldn't give the Tennessee Titans tickets away here. They couldn't give them away.
There is curiosity. Now, globally, the World Cup will beat the NFL.
Without a doubt.
But I'm just curious, like, you know, how bad will it be in the United States when those games are played on Sunday?
Oh, I know, right?
You know, we have, because, I mean, it's Sunday morning. It's going to be early in the morning, but you do have some games later on, like at 10 a.m., 1 p.m.
Well, that would be actually kind of fun to wake up to, like, USA blah, blah, blah over in Qatar and then get into your NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of neat.
Well, I hope. I mean,
so,
I hope
that'll be kind of fun.
I don't think that's going to work out. Well, it'd have to be, I think, in the round of 16, because I don't think the USA plays on a Sunday.
Okay, that's good. That's better.
Yeah.
That's better for all of us.
But if I'm just curious, like, how much of a difference? Because now it's like, you know, hey, for the for here in the United States, the NFL is taking on the global game.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Yeah, preseason game between a 3-13-1 team and a team that's trying to figure out their quarterback with Mitch Trubisky. How draws yeah. got better ratings than NBA games on Christmas Day,
which is their day.
It's not even like Brady played a half, so America wanted to watch it. It was like a team on Hard Knocks. With a likable coach and a team trying to figure out if Mitch Trubisky is good enough to be their starter.
And here's the deal. I doubt most of the people who tuned in for Lions Steelers have even been watching Hard Knocks.
No, it's probably true. It's probably true.
Yeah, we're throwing it out there because, you know, that's us.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I want to see the Lions play. You know, well, this will be on the next Hard Knocks. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, so. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day was that Chris Rock was asked to host next year's Academy Awards.
Did he say yes?
He said no.
Oh, okay.
But it led me to think that there was a time the Oscars didn't have to resort to gimmicks.
Right, I know. Was he afraid Al Pacino was going to punch him or something? What was the reason he said no?
He said no, and he kind of compared it to a certain O.J. Simpson murder.
Oh, goodness.
He basically...
certain O.J. Simpson murder.
He basically compared it as like, man, that'd be like Nicole Simpson going back to the restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Which I kind of find funny.
That is funny. It's like 7 degrees different, but yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But not. Nah, but it's... The Oscars, I mean, they're dying.
They really are. That's a dead show walking.
You know, along the same lines, isn't the Emmys are right around the corner, right?
Well, you know what it is, and this is a big, larger philosophical thing, though. I think that while star power is still important in this country, everybody kind of still wants to be famous. Yeah. I think the movie star and the Hollywood industry is not so far out of reach now that it was for the average American, right?
No, in fact, I think, you know, I never would have thought this in our life. When I was younger, you're probably the same, that television is making a serious run at movies.
Yep, television is making a serious run. But now you've got YouTube stars, you've got social media stars, and all that's kind of silly. But it's still, for a younger generation, that's their thing. That's who they like, you know. But again, you went through this long period of time where Hollywood and the Hollywood elite were sort of revered, right? Well, right or wrong, it just that's the way it was. When you would say, "Oh, look, it's Warren Beatty walking the red carpet. Look at it, you know," or like, "Here, there he is, Humphrey Bogart, ladies and gentlemen, along with Kate Ephron," and you would go, "Oh, look at that, they're movie stars, movie star." And now it's like, movie stars.
Yeah,
they're just going to tell me something about politics that I don't want to hear. They're going to preach to me about something.
Well,
I don't care about.
But I also
get one out of here.
The movies that are being nominated all the time are movies that we don't watch.
Yeah, we're not watching these things.
You know, I remember back in the day, like, you know, like the 90s, every movie that was nominated, it's like, oh, I've seen that one, or I want to see that one. Now I'm like, I have no interest in seeing that movie.
They would talk about 1 billion people watching. People had Oscar parties at their house. To watch
it? Well, it used to be. I remember, you know, not to sound sexist or anything like that, but I felt it was billed as the women's Super Bowl.
Sure. Of course it was. My wife watched it for years and years. That was her thing. My sister used to say it all the time. She still kind of does. Like, the Oscars are on. This is my Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to say my joke because I think it's funny. I never say the Super Bowl is my Oscars. Yep. Just throwing it out there. Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. You can compare your event to my event, but I'm never comparing my event to your event.
Nah, because we already know it's going to outdraw your viewership.
My event is the standard to which all other events. My big night is the standard for which all other nights are judged.
A practice game might outdraw you.
God forbid the Steelers actually had somebody worth watching to fight for the quarterback job.
Oh, forget
Mitch
it.
Trubisky.
Well, that's why that wouldn't even make news.
I know, right?
You know, I mean, if this was a regular NFL game, that wouldn't even be news that they outdrew, like, a random September Sunday afternoon game outdrew Christmas Day NBA. You wouldn't even think twice about it. Like, yeah, of course.
That's right.
But we're talking Lions-Steelers preseason.
Do you remember what I told you about the Steelers when we had our guest on while you were on vacation? And he said, look, Steelers had 9 wins with a quarterback that couldn't throw downfield.
Yeah.
And I went, yeah, that's right. So Mitch Trubisky can throw downfield. Kenny Pickett can throw downfield. If they can do that effectively, there's no reason to think this team can't win 10 games. And I kind of blew that off, and I don't think so. But now I'm actually kind of buying into that.
No, I mean,
I'm buying into that.
The Steelers have a great defense.
Yeah, the Steelers have a great defense. It didn't go away.
That didn't change.
Yeah, and if you can get more plays other than slants for 5 yards like Ben Roethlisberger was throwing, that might actually work. They might actually be somewhat decent. Do they win the division? Probably not. But
you have a team also that kind of imploded over the offseason.
Maybe they won't be maybe they won't be 5-12 like I think I thought they were going to be a while back. So because Roethlisberger was relatively ineffective, just chucking short passes. Every time he tried to go deep, it would just sort of wobble in the air. Like, oh god,
it's like I throwing it.
This guy can't throw it anymore. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, we got the Chargers on the clock. We've also got Matt Mershell to talk ACC football coming up this hour on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us, and we continue with Wake Up Call. Again, we got Matt Mershell talking ACC football coming up. Again, Clemson was dominating this for a while, they still are, but there are some teams now that are starting to pop up a little bit. So we'll get his take on this conference. Will Florida State be able to come back? This is Mike Norvell's third season in Tallahassee. We mentioned Mario Cristobal. He's got some good players down in Miami. He's trying to resurrect that program, his program. That's why he went back home. He's got some family issues, but he's a Miami guy. And so being an opportunity to be the head coach of the Hurricanes. But Pitt is a ranked team. Wake Forest is a ranked team. North Carolina State has got a lot of upside. So there's a lot of teams in the ACC that could make it not as easy for Clemson as they've had in years past. As I said at the top of the hour, a lot of years we would have Clemson 1, 2, 3 right in the preseason poll, expected to be great. Trevor Lawrence, all of that, even before that, Deshaun Watson, but they would go through a conference that wasn't giving them a challenge, but they had to be careful of those sneaky nights that Florida State used to have back in the day when Florida State would dominate and they would play in a weak ACC, but then some magical night in Raleigh, North Carolina State was giving you problems, or you'd go to Blacksburg and all of a sudden you'd lose to Virginia Tech, or you'd go to Charlottesville and Virginia would pop you. There was always this sort of conference is not good, but one night they could scare you type of thing. Well, that's a little different. Some of these teams are legit. Some of these teams are good enough that if they put some things together, they could knock Clemson off of that perch as they enter the season ranked 4th in the country. So we'll talk to Matt Mershell about the ACC, and that's coming up later this hour. The Chargers, again, our team we're going to be focusing on today in the preview. As I said earlier, a really disappointing ending for them to go play a game in which a win got them into the playoffs, a tie got them into the playoffs. They were in overtime, had a chance. The game was heading towards a tie, but then the Raiders kick a field goal and win it, and the playoff dreams were over. But still, and I said this at the time, there's sometimes when even if you don't make the playoffs, there still should feel like that you're going in the right direction. And the Chargers were a team going in the right direction. I always feel bad for teams and fan bases that put together a season that is so out of the prediction range where they were way better than people thought, but you knew it was all being held together by tape and string, and you're probably not going to see that again. Things really had to go right, and they barely make the playoffs when you knew that this was a really good shot for a young team or a team that has got veterans where the roster is going to be overhauled. That wasn't the case here. This is a case of a team continuing in their pursuit of a Super Bowl level football team. And Justin Herbert is on the verge of being a megastar if he's not getting to that point yet. I think you got to make the playoffs. You got to do some things in the playoffs to reach that status, and he's close. But they've also got a head coach in Brandon Staley, who I like his approach. But the problem with his approach is he likes to go for it on fourth downs. He likes to gamble. He likes to, you know, he's sort of bucking the conservative trend. But the one problem that we have in this country, and I'm gonna put all of us in this group, is that we as fans, we love that approach until it doesn't work. And then there's a lot of, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking that happens. This is why when you watch a game, and let's say a team is leading 35-0 and it's in the fourth quarter, and your team is like, oh, this stinks. They get the ball down the field. It's fourth and three. And instead of going for a touchdown or trying to get a first down to continue the drive, they send the field goal unit out. And you go, what difference does this make, right? This is like, you know, taking a bucket to try to drain the ocean. I mean, if you're going to kick a field goal, why do they do it? Because the coach doesn't want to stand up and talk about being shut out, right? Nobody likes being shut out in the National Football League. Should never be shut out in the National Football League. But that's the same way with these sort of fourth down calls. You get a little aggressive. You want to be like, no, we're closer to four down territory. We should be getting first downs. Let's get first downs and let's let our defense pick up the slack if we fail. But when it doesn't work, you go, oh, why didn't we punt? We don't like punts. And when we see them, we go, oh, go for it. But then they go for it, they fail. We should have punted. We get the benefit of being able to complain regardless, right? We get the ability to either decision, we get to criticize. Send the punting unit out, stupid coward. Why don't you go for it on fourth and two? They go for it, they don't make it, stupid. Play the odds. Get field position. That's what this game's all about. Punt the ball away, you dope. We get to do that to coaches. Staley has yet to be sort of in that mode where he's changing because the pressure. He continues to be aggressive because he believes in the numbers. He believes those numbers work out for him. And he's got a star quarterback. He's got a star quarterback. And he's got good players around that star quarterback. So it is the same thing we're saying about every team this week. So it's going to sound repetitive if you've been listening all week, but it's worth it because every team is going to get this. We're going to say the same thing about Denver tomorrow, okay? So keep it on a loop. This division is too strong to not go get it. It's not coming back to you, right? If you're struggling and you give games away, you better be careful. This division's not coming back to you. Where you see other divisions where, you know, the Cowboys had 12 wins last year. They went 12-5. But, well, let's say they, you know, lost a few games. Well, the division wasn't coming up to them, right? The Eagles had a pretty good year. The Washington Commanders had a winning streak where they looked like they were threatening. But in the end, you could fall to them, but they were never going to, they weren't going to rise up to you. Packers the same way. No one's rising up to them. That's not here. The Chargers lose two in a row. You better be careful. It's too good of a conference. It's way too good of a division. So I like the aggressive nature. I hope they keep up with it. But I do worry that because how good other teams in their division are, if a little conservatism doesn't creep in. Because if you go for it on fourth down in certain situations and you don't get it, and it costs you a game or two, it's dangerous. But I love the approach. I've been waiting for coaches to start doing this more and more often. You know, fourth and short, bring out the punting. Just go for it. You know, let's play some football. But playing football can be punting the ball away. Can be the strategical element of, nope, game of field position. It always has been that. This isn't Madden football. If we give up points because we went for it on fourth and short and a play gets busted or we fumble the snap or we fumble the exchange or somebody does something wrong. They went the wrong direction when they should have gone left. They went right and then the quarterback got confused. If any of that occurs and we lose points, those are too valuable. There is a place for the conservativeness. There is a place for the aggressiveness. I like the aggressiveness. I think it makes the game more fun and interesting. But we as a fan base have never embraced it enough to go, that's okay, coach, it's all good. We hold it as ammunition to go after the guy when the season doesn't go the way we want. If this guy's hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy, everyone will tell him, great job, wonderful job, fantastic. If he doesn't, it's four or five plays during the season that could have gone another way had you not gone for it and been that aggressive. Keep being aggressive, Brandon Staley. Keep being aggressive. We'll talk ACC football next with Matt Michelle. So we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com today. Matt Michelle joins us, Orlando Sentinel, talk ACC football on his way to New Orleans for the big Florida State LSU game on Monday night. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Safe travels, by the way. Always safe travels towards you. All right, so I want to ask you right off the bat. This is a conference. There was a period of time where Clemson would be the best team out of the conference, and everyone would sort of say, hey, easy. They better not lose a game. This conference doesn't carry the same weight. And then recently we've seen some pops. We've seen Wake Forest ranked. Pitt is ranked. We're seeing North Carolina State put some good things together. Where is the ACC from the days when people thought it was Clemson and just everybody else?
Well, I think it's changed. I mean, obviously last year with the way Clemson, you know, maybe struggled at times and wasn't able to win it, you know, go ahead and win it, the ACC again and get to the college football playoff for the first time in 6 years. We actually saw that there were some other teams that were able to step in there and unseat, you know, the Tigers, so to speak. You saw NC State, you saw Wake Forest, you know, Pittsburgh comes out of nowhere to do what it's supposed to be doing. So, I think going into this year, I think this is one of the more interesting leagues because I do believe there are about four or five of these teams that could make a legitimate run at an ACC title. And, you know, it's unusual, you know, because of the fact there was so much dominance with Clemson. Before that, it was Florida State that was also dominating the ACC. Now you're starting to see some of these other teams play catch up and put themselves in a position where, you know, it could be anyone's game depending on if Clemson slips up at some point or if someone really kind of has a stellar season.
Let's talk about Florida State for a second. Mike Norvell's going into year number three, and I know the Willie Taggart experiment didn't work and whatnot, but how much does he have? I mean, how much hot seat talk is there around Tallahassee? This is a fan base doesn't like to be down very often. How much does he have to do in 2022?
Well, I don't know if he's on a hot seat so much. So I think that obviously they want to see progression. You know, they want to see this program continue to get, you know, to where it used to be, you know, at some point. You know, last year they won five games. They started out 0-4. I think that was disappointing. There was a lot of pressure on Norvell at that point. But they bounced back, you know, and I think this year, you know, if they could show that progression where, you know, they're able to be competitive in every game. You know, they don't let something like last year when they lost to Jacksonville State, you know, and the last play of the game. If they don't let something like that happen, you know, I think it just goes to show you that, you know, that Norvell has taken the steps that he feels that this program needs to do. You know, they're a much more experienced team. They added a lot more explosive talent. The roster is starting to get some depth, especially at offensive line, which has been just putrid, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years. They actually look like what Florida State used to look like in the past. So, my feeling is 7 or 8 wins for this Florida State team. I still think they've got another year or so in recruiting and things like that, but they need to continue to show progress. If somehow they struggle and they only win 4 games, then yeah, I think Mike Norvell's squarely on the hot seat. But if they can get to a bowl game, not only does that get fans kind of feeling a little bit better about the status of the program, but it also helps recruiting in the sense that, you know, it shows that they're actually making the right steps.
How good is the quarterbacking in this conference? I mean, if you got DJ Uiagalelei in Clemson, but then you've got Malik Cunningham at Louisville. There's Keaton Slovis, the USC kid at Pitt. There's Van Dyke at Miami. I mean, I could go on, but the quarterback play looks very strong.
Yeah, very strong. And if you think about it, Sam Hartman didn't get hurt. You know, wasn't
right.
That was an injury. You know, I mean, that would be another. I mean, he was a he was an outstanding quarterback. So and he looks like he may return at some point in the season. So yeah, I mean this is a stellar league at the quarterback position, and I think that's good to see for this league. You know, especially in a day and age with the transfer portal. You know, I think a lot of these teams are able to identify issues. You know, Pittsburgh obviously, you know, going out and getting Keaton Slovich, you know, from USC. I think anytime you can add a quarterback from the transfer portal and maybe strengthen yourself up. I mean, this league is solid, you know, in that spot. And I think that's what's going to make things exciting to watch. That's why I think, as I mentioned, you know, that's why I think there's four or five teams that really got a legitimate shot at going for the title, because, you know, you do have that solid quarterback play. I think a couple of years ago, you didn't see that. You know, I think you saw a lot of young guys kind of still kind of getting into their own. You know, Trevor Lawrence obviously was one of the guys who was able to do that, you know, Clemson a couple of years ago. But now I think every team right now is in a pretty good spot when you look at the quarterback spot. And I think that's good going for the league. I think, you know, moving forward, they like to see that kind of, they want to see guys that they can actually promote on their, you know, primetime telecast.
Let's talk about Miami. Mario Cristobal down there. They enter the season ranked. They've got some talent. He's bringing in some talent. But what kind of job, like, is ahead of him to get Miami back to prominence?
Well, it's a huge job, you know, and obviously there's a lot of the expectations for around this program right now are through the roof. I mean, you know, listen, the school and the alumni and boosters spent a lot of money to get to pry Mario away from Oregon. They wanted to bring him back. They felt like he was the right guy to, you know, to really kind of get things going for them. You know, then he comes in and you see the preseason, everyone's talking about, you know, Miami's got the best shot of, you know, knocking off Clemson and winning the ACC. And I'm not 100% sold at that point yet, you know, because I still think the biggest challenge Mario's going to have is how do you convince your players not to buy into the hype? You know, they can't get so up on this that eventually, you know, you struggle and you lose a game or two that you were not supposed to lose. You know, if they can contain the hype, if they can go out there and do all the things they need to do. I mean, they've got a talented quarterback in Tyler Van Dyke. You know, they've got a lot of pieces around him. I think the defense needs to grow and mature a little bit more. You know, and then you look at their schedule. You know, they've got a big game at Texas A&M in the third week of the season in College Station. That's going to say a lot about this program. You know, if they can go on the road and win a game like that under intense scrutiny, you know, I think that's going to say a lot for them, because the rest of their schedule is not that tough until they get into November, where they finish up with Clemson and Pittsburgh. So, you know, Miami's got a lot of potential there, you know, but they got to continue to show some of the growth that you know, maybe Mario was brought in to kind of help, you know, establish, because this program has kind of been up and down on a roller coaster a bit.
NC State, this, if you're looking for one of these kind of sneaky good schools that maybe a lot of people aren't paying attention to, the Wolfpack might fit that bill. They got an outstanding quarterback in Devin Leary. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They've got some good weapons around them. Offense should be exceptional. Are they ready to sort of kind of become a team that people around the country sort of go, hey, look at that. Look at what's going on in Raleigh.
Yeah, I think they are. You know, I mean, there were a little bit of that last year. You know, I mean, I think the thing that impresses me about NC State this year, and I think people have to consider, is they've got one of the most experienced defenses in the ACC. Yeah. You know, they return 10 starters. I mean, they are deep at every spot there, and I think that's huge for, you know, that's really huge for Dave Dorn, what he's trying to accomplish. And, you know, this is an NC State program that, you know, four or five years ago, you know, I think people were kind of wondering if Dave Dorn was going to be around. You know, they were struggling a little bit, but now he's managed to build this roster the way he wants it to be. He's done it through some solid recruiting. You mentioned Devin Leary, quarterback, has done an amazing job. You know, to me, the only concern I would have is they got to identify a running back. You know, Jordan Houston is one of those guys, you know, that has a limited action last year. You know, they lost, you know, the top two running backs. So they really need to identify a running game, because I think that's going to help alleviate a little pressure off of Devin. But other than that, this is a solid team. You know, when you look at their schedule, you know, they're on the road at Clemson at the beginning of October. Honestly, you know, after that, they could pretty much, you know, they could have a pretty solid season. This is a team that I think could be the biggest challenger to Clemson when we're talking about in the Atlantic.
Well, let's get to Clemson a bit. We have been so accustomed to them always being around and on top and in the playoff, and then they weren't, had a three-loss season last year, opened the season with a close loss to Georgia, but then did lose to the Wolfpack and then lost to Pitt. But in the end, is that just an off year and they fix it, or are they, and because preseason rankings, take them what you will, is this a team that's just had an off season and is still one of the best teams in the country, or is there still some questions that we have about what they have?
Well, I think it's just an off. To me, it's pretty much just an off season. You know, I think it was an unusual. You know, it was kind of a bump in the road that they weren't used to having or seeing. You know, I think everyone assumed that DJ Uiagalelei would come in, and you know, kind of basically he was the heir apparent to Trevor Lawrence. He was going to come in and really kind of, you know, elevate the team and keep it moving on. You know, and he struggled. You know, he didn't look comfortable in the offense. I think the offense itself, you know, because of injuries on the offensive line, you know, wasn't able to build up any sort of consistency. You know, one of the worst performances I think you've seen from a Clemson quarterback in a long time. You know, but this is still a solid. You know, this is still a solid team. They have one of the best defensive fronts in college football. You know, even though they lost their two top coordinators, you know, I still think they're going to be right up there as an aggressive team like they've been in the past under Brett Venables. You know, to me, the key is just can that offense, you know, can it pick back up again? You know, because you saw early on they had their struggles, but all of a sudden they started to put things together towards the end and were able to finish off with 10 wins. I still think this is a solid team. You know, they've got a chance to, especially early on, you know, they've got that Wake Forest game in late September and the NC State that follows that. But I still think this is a Clemson team that can roll and find its way back in the win an ACC championship and back into the college football playoff mix.
All right, Matt Mershell again. Safe travels to New Orleans for Florida State LSU. I'm just glad that Pitt and West Virginia are playing again. That's a long time coming. I'm glad they were able to work that non-conference game out now.
Yeah, you know, and I think because of everything we're seeing with realignment, you know, a lot of those kind of rivalries are falling to the wayside. And I think it's great to see these kind of things continue to be scheduled and have opportunities for these fan bases to get to clash again one more time, right?
Yeah, Matt, great stuff. Always look good talking to you. Hope to catch up with you soon. Thanks a lot, my man.
All right, take care.
You got it. Matt Mershell, the Orlando Sentinel, talking to us about some college football and ACC football. And I'm telling you, I know, I get it, right? When we did the SEC yesterday, yeah, of course, SEC football is going to be around. Big Ten, of course, Michigan, Ohio State, right? You got those teams that are ranked in there, too. You got Wisconsin ranked. You got Michigan State ranked. And the Big 12 will have, there'll be a buzz about Oklahoma. There'll be a buzz about Oklahoma State. What is Texas going to do, et cetera? Baylor is the conference champion. But the ACC, don't sleep on them. This isn't just Clemson and a whole bunch of also-rans. This is an NC State team that should be around and should be in the national presence if they play the kind of way, the way they're expected to play. Solid on defense, experienced on offense. Wake Forest, when they get Sam Hartman back, is going to be a real force. I don't know what Slovis is going to do at Pitt, but he's a very good quarterback. And if that program that had been built around Kenny Pickett, if he slides into that spot, Pitt should be another team nationally ranked and should be making some noise. You've got Miami nationally ranked. We'll see what Mario Cristobal does. Van Dyke is a good quarterback. Florida State may not make a ton of explosiveness this season, but there might be sneaky enough to win a game or two where you maybe thought that they were down, but they sort of remind you exactly who they are. There's a lot of stuff going on in this conference that I think is positive for the conference. There is no doubt. I've been very, you know, kind of critical about them for a long time when Florida State used to just blast right through it, and then Clemson used to just blast right through it. But over the years, we've seen some of these schools. North Carolina had a moment where they were good for a while. Now you're starting to see that more across the board in this conference, and I think they're going to be a conference that you're going to be wondering how is it going to play out towards the end of the season. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour, get you ready for hour number three as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I like Matt Mershell. We've been talking to him for years. He is so good at like local stuff, or not, the stuff is in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like ACC football, because he covers Florida State. And he covers Florida too, but he can switch.
Central Florida.
And Central Florida.
National champion.
That's a great point. We brought him on like to talk a lot about UCF back in the day when they were exciting and fun.
National champions.
He can switch to Oregon. Yeah, national champs. He can switch to Oregon. He can talk about Nebraska. He's
all
got
over the place.
Fingerprints all over the sport.
Probably a third division college team that he knows more about than anybody else in that town.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? What's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is your reaction times slow way down when you're high. Not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. High. You've been using marijuana in any form. Do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. All right, so he's off to the Labor Day game Monday. Monday night, Florida State and LSU. What a game and what an atmosphere that is going to be for Brian Kelly. LSU at the Superdome? Oh, wait, he was at Notre Dame, so he should know about big settings, right? He should know about big games. By the way, Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, they're going to the Horseshoe to take on Ohio State. He's using the point spread as motivation. They always do. Florida State, let me tell you, they've got a lot of work to do, but if they're around, if they're hanging around this LSU program, remember this LSU program, has fallen on some times too. I mean, they've shuffled the deck a few times too. Kelly's not decided on his starting quarterback yet. I mean, there's some things that LSU is going through. So not quite sure. I think they beat Florida State. I think Florida State's got more things to work on this year and more things to sort of iron out than LSU does, but I don't think this is an LSU walkaway, but that atmosphere is going to be fun. LSU football at the Dome in New Orleans, that's a good game.
It's their second home, right?
Yeah, without doubt. They love them down there. A little LSU football, Florida. I remember how good Florida State was all the time, and even when Jimbo Fisher was there, and then Clemson sort of took over that conference, and then. Now you got some teams that are popping up.
Yeah, now I really don't know who to watch out for.
I mean, North Carolina State. I like the Leary kid. I think he's really fun to watch.
To the point, the other day I was reading this article about Miami Hurricanes getting a new stadium.
Yeah.
And everyone making fun of them, like, oh, Miami, you're not even that good. Why are you getting a new stadium? And I'm like, has it really fallen that far?
You're 100% right.
There was a time when it was like, Miami was Alabama. You just put them in if there was a playoff back then, you just put them in the playoff. Like, don't even bother playing the season.
I remember when I was talking about the 2001 season how the torch was being passed as to who was going to play Miami. Like, who was the number two team in the country? Miami was far and away number one.
People making fun of them getting a new stadium.
You get all of those NFL stars together that played at Miami, they're going to want a new stadium. Absolutely. They want that program back to where they feel like it belongs. They take a lot of pride in that. You don't fall too far when you're Miami. Wake up call.